You're listening to Life Church Podcast with Pastor Bill Carpenter.
Good morning, Life Church family. So thankful that you will let us come into your house this morning. As you can see, I'm at the church. Also, as you can see behind me, there's no one else here. We wish you were here. This would be great if we could meet together today. But the elders and the team leads, we've all put our thoughts and our prayers, our minds together, and really believe that this is in the best interest and the safety of all of us for you to be at home today. And so I'm in here to try to encourage you and exhort you and bless you today for just a little while, okay? So with that in mind, let's pray, all right? Father, we love you. So thankful for your goodness. So thankful for the way you have blessed us and you have protected us and you have cared for us. Holy Spirit, I pray that you will be alive and active in every home this morning and that your love would abound in each family, each individual. I pray, Father, that you would unite us this morning in your spirit and in your truth, your word. And I pray that as we share our hearts today, that we will be a people, a family, a community that is filled with hope, that we are encouraged, and that we are confident in you, Lord. And so just open our hearts right now to hear your word and to receive what you have for us today. We just pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so let me talk to you for just a little bit this morning. There's some big words going around right now. They're everywhere in our conversation. And these are not the kind of conversations that we would have been having even 6 months ago, certainly not a year ago. But there are words that are being used prevalently right now. Words like self-isolation, pandemic, super spreader, coronavirus, obviously, COVID-19, those kinds of things. And they've now become like a part of our everyday conversation. And this is all happening more and more as the outbreak kind of moves further and further out and yet closer and closer to us, all right? All the statistics are changing constantly. And so all the decisions that are being made right now are very fluid decisions. And so we want to talk to you about what's our response as Christians to the coronavirus? What should we be doing? Not only you and I, but Christians around the world as well. But let's bring it home today to us, because now we are feeling the effects of COVID-19. I'm here alone. You're there in your home, all right? So what should we do? What should we be about? And how should we approach this in our relationship with the Lord? And so let me start with just reading one scripture to you this morning that's taken from 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. And we'll just go from there, all right? That scripture says, "For God gave us a spirit, not of fear, but of power and love and of self-control." One translation says, instead of self-control, soundness of mind. What this passage is saying to us is that fear is not our gift. Fear is not what the Lord has given to us. So if we have that, it's from another source. And obviously we know what that source is. It is the enemy. But God has given us gifts. He's given us love. He's given us power, and he has given us this wisdom, this soundness of mind to make good decisions about where we're going and how we're getting there. And so let me give you a couple of thoughts initially. Then I want to talk to you about what we can do as a church, as individuals going forward here. And I want to kind of leave us with a great challenge here at the end of this time together, okay? So the first thing I think that I would like to encourage you to do is bear witness, all right? Be a witness in your home, at your workplace, in whatever other things you have to do in this time. Be a witness to the peace of God, all right? This is really, really, I think, important for us, because Christians are to be characterized by the peace that they have through Christ, and do this in the face of anxious circumstances, situations that are difficult for us, all right? And so I want us to take hold of God's word. In his word, he says, "You keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord God is an everlasting rock." Where does this peace comes from that you and I can have here? It comes from keeping our minds on God and on trusting him. And whenever trouble comes our way, whenever we're threatened and we're dealing with adversity of any kind, our minds need to stay on the Lord, all right? We need to remind ourselves, all right, of the many great truths that are in God's word about him, all right? And we need to hold on to those promises that he has given to us, all right? Family, we believe in the sovereignty of God. That's something we need to keep on our minds on as well, especially as this virus continues to spread and continues to come closer to our daily lives right here at home. We believe, Life Church, that the Lord Jesus is king over all the forces of nature, all right? Psalm 29 tells us that the Lord sent forth his voice, all right, as he did in the beginning of creation, all right? And that nature actually obeys the voice of God. And in the 10th verse of that psalm, it says that he, God, sits enthroned over the flood, all right? The Lord sits enthroned as a king forever. That word for flood there used in that passage is the same word that's used for the great flood in Noah's day, all right? A flood that represents a fearful kind of big disaster. That flood engulfed every nation and every living creature. Yet, the Lord was in control of all of that, bringing his good and his righteous purposes to pass. And we believe that God is the same God yesterday, today, and forever. R.C. Sproul said it this way. Let me read this quote to you. He says, "There cannot be a single maverick molecule anywhere in the universe that is outside of God's sovereignty." Not only is the Lord sovereign, but he is infinitely wise as well. All right? Romans chapter 11, verse 33 says, "Oh, the depth of his riches and wisdom and knowledge. How unsearchable are his judgments and how inscrutable his ways." That means not only that he knows what is best, but he knows the best way of bringing about what is best. The Lord is also for us, I think, gracious. He's sovereignly working all of this good for his people. As Romans 8 and 28 tells us, we know that for those who love God, all of these things are working together for good, for those who are called according to his purposes. That's something that we need to keep our mind on as well, is that we can know perfect peace from God because God knows what he is doing, all right? He knows exactly what is going on. And we obviously don't understand all of his details, all right? We don't understand all the details of his perfect plan, but we know that he is perfect. And so we hold on to that, all right? We also know that the Lord has ordained our days, all right, as Psalm 139 tells us, you know. We also know that nothing in all of creation can alter time and the manner in which God plans to use our lives, all right. And so we hold on to his wise and his gracious sovereignty that has ordained us to be here at this particular time in the history of the world. Nothing in all creation can rob us of the place we have in God, in Christ, all right? So, Jesus tells us not to worry. He tells us this in Matthew 6, declaring to us that it won't help us. It won't add a single hour to our lifespan to be fretting and worrying what is out there and what is around us, all right? So, we hold on to that. The second thing I want to say is that we need to bear witness to the return of Christ. This, I think, is paramount in this season, all right? Pestilences are one of the signs of the times that Jesus mentions in Luke chapter 21. He says, nation will rise against nation and kingdom will rise against kingdom. There'll be great earthquakes in various places. There'll be famines and there'll be pestilences, pandemics, if you will, all right? And there will be terrors and great signs from heaven. See, all these things will characterize the approach of the return of Jesus Christ. Of course, these things have all been true throughout human history, all right? We're not saying they haven't been there already. But in the parallel passage of Matthew chapter 24, Jesus describes these things as the beginning of the birth pains. As a birth approaches, the contractions are closer together. They're more intense. They're more painful, I'm told, all right? Now, isn't that the point of the signs of the times? As we draw closer to the Lord's return, these things become more frequent. They become more intense. They become more painful. So we are kept alert, all right, in this sort of constant state of readiness for the Lord's return. And yet we are without any specific date for that return, all right? It's always imminent, but it's never predictable. All right, so every generation has this opportunity, if you will, to think, and with a genuine cause, all right, that, oh, wow, this could happen in my lifetime. Jesus could return. And so there is this sense of expectation. And I think that out of every outbreak of pestilence or every kind of disease that comes our way that's big and threatening, all right, whether it's a localized like epidemic or whether it's one of these global pandemics that we're talking about now and we're faced with, it should remind us of the words of the Lord and force us this question inside of us. It needs to need to be pressed and it needs to come up out of us. Am I ready for Christ's return? Like, have I bowed my knee to the Lord Jesus? Am I living faithful? Am I living a godly life that he's called me to live? Will I be put to shame at his appearing? I mean, these are questions that we need to roll around in our own hearts and our own minds right now. And so the coronavirus, COVID-19 as it is, it should impress upon us a fresh sense that this world is passing away, all right? That history's not going around in circles, but it's heading towards a great and a terrible day of judgment. It should drive us to pray. It should drive us to witness to the lost around us and to do that with a greater urgency than we ever have. It's striking to me how frightening so many people are by this virus. It's shaken the world. Perhaps especially the economically developed nations of the world, like us, where people seem to feel immune or are secure against so many of the perilous kinds of dangers that are out there in third world countries, all right? But now, we are confronted with a force that says to us, our wealth and our medical advances can't save us at this moment from this pandemic. There's no vaccine at present, all right? There's not likely to be one right away, honestly, okay? So this virus, it has no respecter of persons right now. It's not been able to be contained yet, all right? The world is at its mercy. And yet, the vast majority of people will not contract this disease. And the majority of those people who do will not die from it. How much more terrified should people be of the judgment of God when it sweeps over them suddenly, unstoppably, affecting every person who has ever lived, no matter where on earth they are. All right? This pandemic, and every pandemic, is a small and pale shadow of the ultimate judgment of God. And yet there is a vaccine for God's judgment. There's a cure. But it's only found in Jesus Christ. He bore the full effects of the virus of our sin, and he came and delivered us the cure. And that is through the power of his resurrection. And that's where we land. That's where we stand, all right? And that's what I want to encourage you in this morning. So let me bring this home to some very practical things, all right? Let's look at it in some very practical ways, all right? Because many of the things that we are reading right now seems to be the do nots or the don't do's, if you will, all right? But here are some do's. These are some things that I think you and I need to be doing during the coronavirus pandemic, all right? First of all, we need to do the best thing we can do. We need to pray. All right. We need to be a people of prayer. I'm asking you, Life Church, as your pastor, to pray for the families, not just here in Life Church, but around the world who have suffered in this pandemic, who have lost loved ones that have died as a result of being infected with the COVID-19. Jesus said, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted," Matthew 5:4. I think we too are to mourn the loss of life. I think we can legitimately be saddened of heart to a degree here, okay? We're mourning with those who are grieving the loss of their families and their friends, and some may be grieving loss of work and income. Some may be grieving peace in their heart and their minds right now, but somehow our grieving in that, Jesus comforts us with the hope that creation and people will not always be broken. A new creation where sickness and death are no more. It is coming. It is coming for all of us who believe, all of us who have our hope in Jesus Christ. But until that time, we pray, we grieve with one another, we love each other, we endure with one another, and above all, we put our hope in Jesus with one another. The second thing I would say that we need to do is we need to lead others in praying. We need to be leaders in the spirit of prayer right now. So do seize your moments, all right? And pray, especially for family and for friends and neighbors, as well as co-workers, that they can receive peace in their heart, all right? John 14, that passage that you got in your e-blast says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not be afraid." Take that moment. It may be a neighbor, it may be a coworker, it may be someone that's in a place where you have to go to for a little bit during this time of semi-isolation and this whole idea of distancing ourselves to at least a 6-foot level or whatever. All those kinds of things make it difficult for us to connect. But if you're in a place with someone and you realize that they're struggling, they're battling, that they have fear or anxiety or whatever the case may be, seize the moment. Seize the opportunity. Just reach to them. You don't have to touch them, but just reach to them and say, "Hey, can we pray? Can I pray with you? Can I pray for you?" All right? And I think God has given us a community, a scientific community, a medical community. All of them are working overtime. We need to be praying for them. We have people in our church who are in the medical community, and they're working laboriously to be a part of helping us overcome this pandemic. And so they're out there on the front lines. We need to be praying for those individuals in our own church who are serving in that community, in our hospitals locally. And so we want to cover them. But we also want to realize that we are not separated from the scientific community, people. We trust that God is using the scientific community to bring a breakthrough that will help us to rid the earth of this pandemic that is going on right now. And so we don't fight against science. We're not fighting against the scientific community that is working so hard. We're not fighting against the medical community that is working so hard. We're with them, all right? And we need to be praying for them. We need to be praying for these first responders all over the world that are on the front lines with sick people, with dying people, with fearful people, all right? Because here's the thing, God, in his common grace, he expresses his love through all of us, regardless of what profession we're in or what situation we're in, all right? And a lot of these people are stretched and they're tired and they're pulled thin, all right? So we need to be praying that God will give them wisdom and God will give them strength and God will give them endurance. Then let's be a church in our community that leads in praying for our political leaders, all right? We're going to pray that they have the wisdom to implement the kind of strategies that are necessary to flatten out this COVID-19 and slow down the rate of transmission that is hitting our nation in particular right now, but some others even more, all right? I can't imagine how difficult it is for the government officials around us, all right, in tandem with the scientific community and the medical community to work and to try to discover and develop and deploy all these strategies that we need to combat this crisis right now, okay? But, church, it's not time for you and I to be critical. It's time for you and I to be supportive. It's time for us to pray for our leaders, our mayor, our governor, our president. They all need our prayers. And God uses our prayers. Life Church has stood on the power of prayer since its inception. And so we're not going to drop that now. We're not going to lessen that in any way now or diminish that. We're going to actually increase that time of praying and being strategic in our prayers, all right? So it's vital, all right, that we are a praying church and that we lead by example, even in our community, in whatever ways that we can. Here's the third thing that I want you to do. Life Church, you're a family. We are a family. Do communicate, all right? Plan and process with one another ways to keep ourselves and the people that we care for as safe as possible, all right? It's vital that you and I are sharing information, that we're getting information where we need to from the reputable resources that are out there like the CDC and others. Social media probably is not the best platform. Oh, excuse me, back up. It is not the best platform for you to get informed, all right? Proverbs 11:14 says, where there is no guidance, a people falls. But in an abundance of counselors, there is safety. You see, when people lack wisdom and they lack understanding, they perish. Why? Because fear fills in their blanks. And so you and I need to be caring for one another, helping each other to get informed, helping each other to understand what we need to do. We need to be checking on each other. This is important for us. All right? Fourth thing, we as your pastors, we've pulled together in the last number of months a great team of leaders in Life Church. Do communicate with any of us frequently, all right? Reach out if you need to, all right? Utilize your D group as much as possible. Here more than ever, we are the priesthood of believers, all right? People are looking for all of us to shepherd them through this crisis. So be wise. Be available, but also be honest if you're struggling personally, all right? Don't stay out there and isolate yourself simply because you're going through some difficulty or uncertainty or you're questioning or doubting or you're afraid or whatever the case may be, or if you're sick, all right? Use social media wisely and use your church newsletter as we communicate to you. If you're not on that list, get on that list right away, all right? Work with inside of the church community, all right? In times of uncertainty, our people need to be led by the one Jesus who is the same today, yesterday, and tomorrow. But that one Jesus intends for all of us to be a community together and give from to one another and receive from one another. And so we need each other. In fearful times, we lean into that great shepherd, if you will, and he tells us to pray. And the way we pray is that even if we go through the darkest valley, the valley of the shadow of death, all right, we don't fear danger, we don't fear death, because he is with us, all right, and his rod and his staff, in other words, his provision, his abundance, it comforts us. And so that's where we live, and part of that provision is one another. We have the ability to comfort and to care for one another. Five. Let's remind ourselves who the church is, all right? Let's remind ourselves of our identity. Let's be exhorting one another. This should be normal every day, but now more than ever, it's vital. It's super important. The church is the bride of Christ, all right? She's the beloved of the Father. She's the dwelling place of the Spirit. We're not a people of fear. We're a people of faith. This is our identity. Our faith is grounded in the Lord Jesus and his sovereign rule over creation. And as your pastors, we want to remind you that the collective history throughout the ages tell us that this is when the church shines, all right? When epidemics and plagues would wipe out entire cities and villages in the Roman world, it was the followers of Jesus who stayed in those cities and cared for the poor and the sick and the afflicted and the needy and the broken. You can read Rodney Stark in a book he writes, The Rise of Christianity. He talks about all of this in great deal. And Lyman Stone is a writer, a modern day writer and theologian who has written some wonderful things about the history of the church and its impact. And go and read some of that stuff and be inspired and challenged by it, all right? Seventh, okay, do fight against this, all right? Fight against racism and prejudice in the midst of this virus. I really think that that's important for you and I. We fight with faith, hope, and love. But there have been, sadly, some incidences of people, groups being targeted with racism and prejudice simply because of COVID-19. All right, teacher children especially, all right, that we are called to love one another because Jesus died for every single person on the face of this earth, just as he died for us. All right, so we're to love all of our brothers and sisters around the world right now. And this is a time of anguish. This is a time when we love our neighbors and we let that love shine the brightest that it possibly can. Last thing, folks, this is simple, but it's so important. Do take preventative measures, please. All right, that's why we're coming to you in this format this morning, church. We're church. We're not here, church, but we're church, all right? But there are some measures that are likely going to continue beyond today, all right? And they may continue sometime into the future. We don't know. But even as we return to our regular service format, there will be some changes that will be in place, all right? And so what I'm asking all of us to do is to be sure that we follow the CDC guidelines, whether that's local or our state or federal government guidelines that are coming out, as well as other local agencies around us, such as schools and universities and medical centers. We take some of our cue from them as well, all right? And all of this is for our safety and for prevention, all right? We're going to have some professional cleaning done here in the church coming up. But I want us also just remind each other, teach your children, train your children up in the way that they should go, all right? Help each other, inspire each other, all right? Spouses, encourage each other, all right? Let's just remind each other the importance of frequently washing our hands, at least 20 seconds, okay? We need to do this. It sounds so simple, but this is one of the most major things that can help us as we're going forward, all right? We're going to provide you with some hand sanitizer. Use it, all right? Social distancing seems really countercultural, doesn't it, to Life Church? You know, I'm not worried as much about handshaking here as I am hugging and kissing. All right, we are a church that is just filled with love for one another, and we get close to each other. That's Life Church. It is, all right? But for right now, we have to be responsible for one another's health, not just our own, all right? So be careful about touching one another going forward. The first Sunday back, I hope it's next Sunday, but if it's not, the first Sunday back to regular worship service, our greeters are going to be waving at you and nodding at you and greeting you verbally, but we're not going to be shaking hands just yet, okay? We're going to be wiping everything down. There's not going to be food service initially, all right? Things like that, we have to do these things to protect all of us, all right? It's not just about being responsible about your own health right now. It's not just your own, it's everyone's, okay? So if you're feeling sick and you have a fever, you need to stay at home. You need to listen to these podcasts that we're bringing to you, all right? Older members in Life Church, and I'm with you, if you're in poor health, if you're compromised in some way, listen from home for right now, all right? Take care of yourself and be careful here and stay in contact with us, all right? And we're going to try to stay in contact with you and check on you. So everyone in Life Church, make some safe calls to one another, all right? Just see how each other is doing right now. Again, when the world is in chaos, we are to inhabit and example the peace of Christ, the peace that God has given us through his Son, all right? When the world is afraid, we're to be strong and courageous, because Jesus is our courage and our strength. When the world is feeling hopeless, we're to be hope-filled people, all right? Because our hope is in the one who defeated sin and death. That is our proclamation in this hour, both in word and especially in action. So with that, may the Lord bless you and protect you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord look on you with favor and give you peace. In Jesus' name, amen.